ओम अज्ञानति व्रणकस्ति ज्ञानान्तनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. ओके, ऐ कवर्ड अप टू टेक्स्ट 4 एंड ऐ रेड विश्वनाथ चक्रवर्तीस् कामेंटरी. देर आर अदर कामेंटरीज रिमेनिंग बट ऐ विल गो अहेड विद फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 5 इन प्रभुपाद्स edition, and then when I go back to the commentaries, then I'll read out from text 2. Five. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhava shreyo bhuktum bhaksham apiha loke hatvartha kamamsta guru ni haiva bhunjiya bhogan rudhira pradigdhan. It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. According to scriptural codes, a teacher who engages in an abominable action and has lost his sense of discrimination is fit to be abandoned. This is an important point. This is called Guru Tyaga, rejecting a guru. When should this be done? This should be done when a teacher engages in abominable action and has lost his sense of discrimination. There is a text from the scriptures that is the background for this statement by Prabhupada. And the same text, you will find it in a book written by Narahari Sarkar called Krishna Bhajanamrita. Narahari Sarkar was a direct associate of Lord Chaitanya, a disciple of Lord Chaitanya. In the evening aarti we sing Narahari Adi Kori Chamana Dhulai. Narahari used to fan Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is how it happens in the Nityalila also. So he wrote a book called Krishna Bhajanamrita. And he discusses what to do when a guru falls down, when a Vaishnava guru falls down. He explains that when a Vaishnava engages in abominable action refers to becoming an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or becoming an offender to the Vaishnavas. Or he becomes hopelessly entangled in sinful activities. Irretrievably entangled in sinful activities. So under such circumstances, then one should give up such a guru. One should not continue accepting that guru's instructions, because then the disciple will also go to hell. The disciple is falling, the guru is falling down, his follower will also fall down. So Narahari Sarkar, he points out that no, one should not do this. In Krishna Bhajanamrita. These statements, there are similar statements you'll find in Jaiva Dharma of Bhaktivinoda. Basically, he's also paralleling the same statement in conclusion of Narahari Sarkar. This point is also regarding rejecting a guru. This is also discussed by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha. And he also says the same thing. That if a guru is engaged in, if he offends Krishna. Now offending Krishna, like if you become, for instance, a Mayavadi impersonalist and you say that Krishna is Maya, or you make any statement to that effect, then that is an offense to Krishna. So these are all abominable activities, and these are indications that the guru has lost his sense of discrimination. So one cannot continue to accept the authority of such a Diksha Guru or a Shiksha Guru if he has lost his discrimination and he is engaged in abominable action. The ISKCON laws regarding rejecting Guru is also based on these statements. Very important point. You don't continue to follow a Vaishnava who's fallen. Only when a Vaishnava is non-fallen and he's on the right track, then you follow. When he's fallen, you don't follow. Bhishma and Drona were obliged to take the side of Duryodhana because of his financial assistance, although they should not have accepted such a position simply on financial considerations. Under the circumstances, they have lost the respectability of teachers. But Arjuna thinks that nevertheless they remain his superiors, and therefore to enjoy material profits after killing them would mean to enjoy spoils tainted with blood. This is, Arjuna is evoking a typical emotional response. That whatever they may be, they have helped me. I should have gratitude towards them. And when people get emotional like this, they think that following a person who is not worthy of following is a sign of gratitude. Arjuna is deluded. That's why he's thinking like this. It's wrong. Six. Vachaitad vidmah katarano gariyo yadva jayema yadiva no jayeyuh yane vahatva na jijivishamas devasthitapram mukhedhartharashtra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet, they are now standing before us on the battlefield. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious, even if victory awaited them and their cause was justified. Still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely proved that not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Now, this is an important point. The Mayavadi school, headed by Shankaracharya, they have portrayed Arjuna as a mandadhikari, as a dull-minded fool. And because he is so dull-headed, therefore Krishna spoke so many things which are not really relevant to real spirituality. Real spirituality is, you and I, we are all God, and you should meditate on this. But because Arjuna is a mandadhikari, he's a dull-headed person, he's a kanishtadhikari, he's incapable of grasping this. He's incapable of understanding the means for liberation. And therefore, Krishna spoke so many things, told him, you perform your Vedic prescribed duties, you engage in bhakti, and he spoke all this low-class nonsense. But the reality is, one should engage in chinmatra veda chinta. One should meditate on the spiritual oneness of everything. This is the standard Shankarite understanding of Arjuna. I remember when I was going with some devotees to South India by train, and there was one man who was sitting in our cabin in the compartment, and that gentleman, he said, you know, we had our kartals, mudangas, so we didn't know whether to do kirtan or not. So anyway, we started doing kirtan, and some people had been opposing in a different cabin, but this man was sitting in our cabin, and he strongly spoke in our favor, saying, yes, 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 you must do this kirtan. So then we were very happy, you know, so we did this kirtan. Some half an hour, 45 minutes we were doing kirtan. Then afterwards, then the man started to lecture. Then he said, yes, we should do this Hare Krishna kirtan, this is very nice. In this way, we will all learn that we are all God. we will finally we will come to the spiritual realization that we are all God. This mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, this is all part of bhakti, and this is all very much required, because the Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we must do these things. If we do these things, then finally we will realize that ultimately the jiva is Brahma himself.
Who did this, as he say?
The Bhagavad Gita. Somehow by mistake I was sitting next to him. So I told him that, where does the Bhagavad Gita teach this? And he said, yes, Bhagavad Gita is teaching this. This is the highest teaching of Bhagavad Gita. You should not be misled by the lower teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The lower teachings of Bhagavad Gita tell you that you should think about Krishna, you should think about all that, about the form of God, but the highest, highest is this. So then I said, but did the Bhagavad Gita says that the impersonalists, they are second class at most. At most, the impersonalists are second class. He said, no, it is not like that. No, it's actually, that's the real message of Bhagavad Gita. So then I said, do you have a copy of Bhagavad Gita? And then I started taking out our edition of Bhagavad Gita. Then he said, no, I don't want to look at your edition. Your edition will all talk about dualism. You will talk dualism. Now, dualism is a bad word amongst the Mayavadis. He's a dualist. That means he's a low-class man. He sees the difference between the soul and God. He's low-class. The highest is those who see Advaita. Advaitam Paramartham. The highest teaching of Shastra is Advaita. So then he said, I'll take out my edition of Bhagavad Gita. So I said, fine, yeah, you take out any edition of Bhagavad Gita, I don't mind, because you really cannot mistranslate the Sanskrit of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita Sanskrit is quite simple. It's not such a complicated thing. So he took out one standard Advaitic edition, contemporary Advaitic edition of the Bhagavad Gita. And I was familiar with that commentator also. And his edition also had word-for-word meanings, similar to ours. Shloka, word-for-word meanings, translation, commentary. It's commonly used throughout India, that's how they publish. So then I told him, can you please open the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? And then he opened. Then I said, can you please read the word-for-word meanings and translation for the very first question that Arjuna is asking? 12th chapter, first verse. There Arjuna is asking, between the personalists and the impersonalists, who are greater? It's very simple. It's a very straightforward question. Then I said, see, this is your guru's edition, okay? You understand the question? This is the question. Who's superior? The devotees or the impersonal meditators? Okay. Read the next shloka. And then the next shloka is Krishna's answer. That those who are devotees who are meditating on me, they are superior. That guru's own word-for-word meanings and translation of them. So I had made an agreement that, look, I'm not going to read my commentary, you are not going to read your commentary. Only word-for-word meanings and translation. Simple, you cannot play with that too much. So then he read the second shloka also. So the answer was very clear, even according to that translation, according to that word. Krishna is saying it, what can you do? Then the devotees are superior. I said, isn't it very clear that, that the bhakti yogis are superior to the jnana yogis? Then he said, see, you don't understand that bhakti yoga is meant for dull-headed people. For people who don't have a brain, these people should engage in bhakti yoga. But people who have a brain, they should engage in jnana yoga. And he said, but here Krishna is telling a bhakti yogi is superior to a jnana yogi. And he said, but he's talking this to whom? To Arjuna. He's saying this to whom? To Arjuna. You know, and on a battlefield. How can Krishna explain the complete truth in a battlefield? And that too to Arjuna. So therefore Krishna just spoke something to encourage him, that's all. Standard Shankarite understanding. That Arjuna is a dull-headed fellow. Doesn't understand. And therefore, he's bewildered because he's thinking that there's a difference between him and the Absolute Truth. He's seeing differences everywhere. He is seeing himself to be different from Krishna, different from the kings, different from the women, different. They're all different. So he is caught up in this bheda vyamoha, in this delusion of difference. Whereas when you come to spiritual perfection, you see everything as one. You see everything as one. So, therefore the general understanding is, Arjuna is not ready for liberation. He's not competent, he's not fit for liberation. And therefore, he has all this crazy concepts that we are different from God. And you will see, Arjuna is going to surrender to Krishna. You see? So, which for a Mayavadi is just a sign that he's a Kanishta Adhikari, he's a Manda Adhikari. Whereas Uttama Adhikaris, they know the oneness. They have seen the oneness. They have perceived the oneness of the truth. So therefore Prabhupada is writing this here. That it is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Arjuna is not a Manda Adhikari. Arjuna is not some foolish fellow. He is fully qualified to receive knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And in fact, Krishna does speak the Absolute Truth only. Krishna does not speak some sentimental stuff to appease Arjuna. Not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Arjuna was fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. So unless our senses are controlled, we cannot come to the point of spiritual realization, which is called knowledge. And without coming to the plane of spiritual realization, along with devotion service to Krishna, there is no question of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationships. So, in addition to Arjuna being a VIP in the universe, he was also competent spiritually, quite fit for spiritual understanding. And we will come back to this. We will examine. Baladeva Vidyabhushan analyzes this point. Prabhupada here is simply summarized. He has summarized and he has just disposed of it. Summarily, but Baladeva Vidyabhushan analyzes this. It's a very important point. 7. Karpanya dosho pahatasvabhava prichamitvam dharma sammudha cheta yachreyasya nishchitam bruhitanme shishyaste kham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Now I'm confused about my duty and I've lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. Material nature is designed in such a way that it is going to give us anxiety and perplexity. It is designed like that. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. Why does Prabhupada bring up this point? He brings up this point because in the modern world there is a tendency not to accept a guru, not to accept a Shiksha guru. The tendency is, I will be my own guru. I can solve my own problems. So he's pointing out that no, the Vedic teaching is one must have a guru. If you don't have a guru and you don't surrender to guru, having a guru is one thing. That's one step. That's a big thing itself. To accept the Shiksha guru is a big thing. On top of it, one has to surrender to the Shiksha Guru. One has to first of all surrender, accept. First of all, one has to search for and discover a competent Shiksha Guru. Next step is one has to surrender to the Shiksha Guru. There are two types of spiritual masters. One is called a Diksha Guru. A Diksha Guru gives Diksha. Diksha means Mantra Diksha. Mantra that has come from the disciplic line. Spiritual sadhana requires chanting a mantra along with certain rules and regulations that go along with the chanting. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And those who are second initiated, they receive further mantras. So their life revolves around this mantra. This mantra chanting has to be executed by us along with certain rules. Like for instance, for the Hare Krishna Mantra, we have the rule that one should follow the four regulative principles. The four regulative principles are restrictions on certain self-destructive activities. Just like Prabhupada said, if you want to light fire, you have to take a match stick and take a match box and strike it and you get fire. However, if your match stick is wet or your match box is wet, then you have to dry them. You have to dry it in the sun, in the sunlight. So you have to ensure that there is no water and you have to strike the match stick with the match box. So when we do like that, then there is fire. Similarly, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but we should ensure that we don't commit the four primary sinful activities. And one should not commit any of the ten offenses to the holy names. So on one side, we engage in the mantra japa, the chanting of the mantra. But on the other hand, we avoid certain self-destructive activities, sinful activities, offensive activities. That mantra has to be received from someone who received the mantra from someone. So in that way it goes on through a mantra parampara. So mantra is one thing. The other thing is, one should also have proper understanding, which is called shiksha. So we also need a shiksha guru. Usually the diksha guru is the primary shiksha guru. Usually the diksha guru is the primary shiksha guru. We take shiksha from so many devotees. Shiksha means counsel, guidance, inspiration, help. All that refers to shiksha. Usually the diksha guru is the primary shiksha guru. But sometimes there are situations where somebody who is not the diksha guru becomes the primary shiksha guru. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His diksha guru was one Vipin Bihari Goswami. But his primary shiksha guru was Jagannath Das Babaji. And if you look at our disciplic line, you will find on top of Bhaktivinoda, you will find Jagannath Das Babaji. You will not find Vipin Bihari Goswami's name. Because his primary guru, his primary shiksha guru was somebody else. Diksha is a one-time affair. Diksha is only given one shot. You know, there's an initiation ceremony, diksha is given, finished. Shiksha is not a one-time event. Shiksha is a daily event or a weekly event. It's a periodical event. It's a lifelong event. You go on receiving shiksha. As you go on having problems or difficulties or challenges, you go on taking shiksha from your shiksha gurus. Like here, Arjuna is taking shiksha. Shiksha means education, inspiration and all that. So unless we have a competent shiksha guru. Now shiksha is the driving principle in Krishna consciousness, because diksha is a one-time event. It's a one-time event. Nevertheless, the protocol is the diksha guru is the primary shiksha guru. He's the overriding shiksha guru. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. So when we choose a Shiksha Guru, we should ensure that he is in a Shiksha Parampara. That he has a Shiksha Guru. Who has a Shiksha Guru? Who has a Shiksha Guru? And so on. There has to be a Shiksha Parampara. He has to be listening to someone. He cannot, you cannot take Shiksha from someone who doesn't listen to some Shiksha Guru. Who has to be competent. So that spiritual master should be in the disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam. This is the system. That's the standard system. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. That means a person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything required to get liberated. It's not that he's supposed to know everything. He's not supposed to know how a Macintosh computer works. He doesn't have to know. He does not have to know how many ants are sitting near the next tree. He doesn't have to know everything in that sense. He has to know everything required for attaining liberation from material bondage. That he is supposed to know. Acharyavan purushaha veda. A person who has an acharya, who listens to an acharya, he knows. He knows the means to attain liberation. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. The idea is when we are caught up in material perplexities, it is our duty to approach a spiritual master. In the Vedic tradition is, the spiritual master does not have to come and fall at the disciple's lotus feet and beg him, please accept my solution. That's not his job. It's the disciple's job to seek the solution. Just like it's the patient's duty to get himself cured. It's the doctor's duty to reciprocate with the patient. But who has to take the proactive step? Who has to take the initiative? Who is responsible for curing? Ultimately, it's the patient. The doctor will help as much as you allow him to help. If you don't want him to help, he'll say, okay, go away. Similarly, in between a guru-disciple relationship, we have to keep this in mind. Now, of course, we are aware that a Vaishnava in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is often excessively merciful. He may go out of his pathway to bestow causeless mercy upon a disciple. But we should not take it for granted. Causeless mercy should not be taken for granted because it is causeless. Rather, we should take charge, just like here, how Arjuna is acting. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. It is my duty. I am stuck up in material life. I am suffering in material existence. So it is my duty to approach a spiritual master. It's not a spiritual master's duty to approach me. If he does, that's causeless mercy. If I approach my spiritual master, that is not my causeless mercy on him. That is simply sanity. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. Now, who is in material perplexity? It is everyone. Everyone who doesn't understand how material life works, that person is in material perplexity. In other words, one who doesn't understand about the nature of this world and who is still trying to enjoy in this world, that person is a man in material perplexity. It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the perplexed man is described as follows. Yova etadaksharam gargya avviditva smallokat praiti sakripanaha. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding the signs of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity. Who can utilize it for solving the problems of life? Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is the Brahmana, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize this body to solve all the problems of life. Jayetadaksharam gargi viditva smal lokad praiti sab brahmana. So that person who actually gets to understand the science of the absolute truth and who leaves this world in order to never come back, he is a brahmana. So that person has knowledge of the absolute truth. The whole point is, it is the duty of the living entity to solve the problems of his life. He has to take responsibility. This is the point. We have to take responsibility for solving the problems of life by approaching a bona fide representative of Krishna, the bona fide spiritual master. Yes.
On that word, L, Viditva Smal.
Yes.
On top of L, there is a special sign.
That's called a Chandra Bindu. That indicates nasal, Anunasika.
Because normally that sign is only on M.
No, 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 no. In Sanskrit it's there. It can be there for La. It's called Sanunasikal Lakara. It's a Larama Lakara with the nasal. There are some grammatical rules.
But it's not there in the pronunciation guide at the end of the book. It's not there.
Because it's a very rare phenomenon. That is why it's not put up. The Kripanas or miserly persons waste their time. Here is a further clarification of who a Kripana is. A Kripana literally means a miser. The Kripanas or miserly persons waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. See, it is one thing to be affectionate, it's one thing to be overly affectionate. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children and other members on the basis of skin disease. The Kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the Kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. See, Arjuna has come to the point where he actually wants these problems to be solved. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious. And now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. There is an etiquette on how a disciple deals with his guru. The disciple is sober with the spiritual master. He's not casual or friendly with the spiritual master. The spiritual master can be friendly with the disciple. The disciple cannot be friendly with the spiritual master. The guru can come to you, pat on your shoulder and say, Hari Bhava, how are you? You cannot go to your guru and pat on his shoulder and say, Hari Bhava, how are you? That is an offense. He can do that. You cannot do that. So, but we should remember that you can't have friendly talk. Now in his lectures, Prabhupada explains what this means. In a friendly talk, there's a lot of argument and debate. There's a lot of argument and debate. Friendly talk means you say something, I say something else, and then you say nonsense, crazy. You know, that's how you know, foolish. We speak all these things. You're talking like a nut. But when the spiritual master and disciple are talking, disciple cannot talk to the spiritual master like that, even if he does not understand. Even if what the spiritual master says is inconceivable to him, the disciple still has to give the benefit of a doubt to the guru. That maybe you are correct and maybe I am wrong, but please explain how you are correct and how I am wrong. Once you have accepted a guru, you have to be like that. If you haven't accepted a guru, then you can challenge and all that. The moment you surrender to a guru, you cannot no more argue. So that is the whole point. Now Arjuna has come to this point. Shishyastekham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Oh, I am surrendering to you. Once the point of surrender is reached, that means you are accepting a person as your guru. That's called guru grahana. Accepting the person as guru. The moment you've done it, then you have to start maintaining this etiquette. Nobody is forcing you to do it now. But if you have done it, that's what it means. You have to maintain etiquette. If you cannot do it, okay, then you continue testing him. You continue challenging, arguing, everything. The moment you accept it, you have to keep etiquette. Very, very important. Very important. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. You see, again and again and again, Prabhupada reminds us of how Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita. This is very important. We are followers of Arjuna. We are following Arjuna's understanding of Bhagavad Gita. This has to be underscored repeatedly. And yet, foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. Eight. Nahi prapashyami mamapanudya yachokamuchoshanamindriyanam avapya bhuma vasapatnam riddham rajyam suranam apichadhipatyam. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Shri Krishna. The idea is, even if you know Shastra, you need a guru. You may know Shastra. That doesn't solve any problem actually. Because you won't understand which element of Shastra, which teaching of Shastra should be applied, when and where. Unless you have a Shiksha Guru, you're stuck. He could understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence. It was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. If we don't take guidance from competent Vaishnava Shiksha Gurus on a frequent basis, then our spiritual progress is going to be very stunted and irregular. There are many devotees I know who don't take competent guidance from superior Vaishnavas. They basically think on their own. Even if they have a guru, they are quite independent minded. Their spiritual progress is uncertain. The whole process is dependent on carefully searching for a competent Vaishnava who can function as a Shiksha Guru and listening to that person. Just like if I am sick, it is my duty to search for a competent doctor. And I take his prescription very seriously. If the medicine doesn't work, I get back to the doctor and I say, this medicine does not work. Why? And that doctor will give me another medicine. Probably this medicine has an allergic effect on your body because of this reason. So I'll give you another medicine. But it's the disciple, it's the patient's duty to chase the doctor and do whatever is required to get cured. And he cannot do it by himself. Needs a doctor, a competent doctor. Similarly, we are stuck in this material world, absorbed in lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, illusion. And we don't have devotion towards Krishna and his devotees. So we are stuck. This is our disease. So we need a competent Vaishnava, Shiksha Guru, or Shiksha Gurus. One is, it is acceptable to have many Shiksha Gurus. Diksha Guru, you can only have one. Shiksha Gurus, one can have many. So, we need to search out and take frequent guidance Not that, you know, I take shiksha from my shiksha guru once a year. And then for remaining 364 days in a year, what do? I take shiksha from my own mind. So this culture of listening to a competent Vaishnava shiksha guru is very important. Otherwise, it's very difficult to solve our individual challenges, our problems in our spiritual life. So that culture needs to come in ISKCON. In some places it is established neatly, like in the Radhanath Maharaj group, Chapati, Pune, they have a system of, they call their Shiksha Gurus counselors. So they have a system for that. But anyway, that concept is very, very important, that we need to voluntarily seek competent guidance from Vaishnavas. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. You see, these are all useless, academic knowledge. I can go get some PhD in Indology, Sanskrit, Indic studies and this and that. But they are all useless and irrelevant. It is not going to help me in my spiritual life. Scholarship is irrelevant for becoming liberated. High position, these are all irrelevant. Useless and irrelevant. Help can only be given by a spiritual master. Bona fide spiritual master. Like Krishna. The understanding is, the spiritual master must function just like how... You see, when Krishna functions as a spiritual master, how he does? He's a perfect guru. He will also quote from Shastra. Rishibhir bahudha gitam chandobhi vividai pratak brahma sutra padesh chayiva hetumadbhi vinishchitai. Krishna will also quote from Vedanta Sutra. He will also quote from the chandas, from the Vedic Shruti. So the spiritual master has to be like that. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. Lord Chaitanya said that one who is a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. Kiba vipra kiba nasi shudra kene noy jay krishna tattva betta se guru hoy. It does not matter whether a person is a vipra, learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in the renounced order of life. If he is a master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. This is a very revolutionary statement if you look at it from the perspective of Indian history. Even in Lord Chaitanya's movement, caste Goswamis, one of the Apasampradayas, they were there. People born in Brahmin families, they would maintain their livelihood by awarding Diksha in exchange for a certain amount of money. For Diksha, they would charge. I think even now some people, they do this business, Diksha business. They charge 50 rupees for Diksha or something. In that way, they give Diksha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he pointed out, no, this is all useless, bogus. It doesn't matter whether one is born in a Brahmin family, whether one is a sannyasi, whether one is born in a Shudra family. Anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna consciousness, he can be a guru. At one point, during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, there was tremendous opposition. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was initiating. He was not born in a Brahmin family. And on top of it, he's boldly saying that it's not that only Brahmins can initiate. Anyone who's conversant with the science of Krishna consciousness, he can initiate, he can accept disciples. And he would quote this verse. And for this verse also, they gave a misinterpretation. Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Guru Hoy means Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sei Shiksha Guru Hoy. He can become a Shiksha Guru. He cannot become Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru only a Brahman can give. So then he pointed out, this is all bogus. You know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying he can be Guru. So what is your problem? How can you introduce all these bogus ideas? And anyway, you don't determine a Brahman by birth. You determine a Brahman by quality. So during Saraswati Thakur's time, there was a powerful struggle. They even tried to kill him. They attacked him. There was a lot of tremendous objection. Tremendous objection, opposition that he had to face. But he powerfully established, no, whether he is born in a Brahmin family, Shudra family, whatever he may be, whether he is a Westerner, whatever he may be. There are some people who think that you should take initiation from an Indian guru. Really bogus it is. Wrong. You have to take initiation from a competent Vaishnava who is competent to give you guidance and who is well established in the teachings of the liberated acharyas. Whether he is a Westerner, Easterner, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. So now Prabhupada is saying the opposite. On one side he is saying one who is the master in the science of Krishna consciousness, he can be a guru. And then now he is saying the Vyatireka, that which is the very opposite of that. He is denying the opposite of that. He is denying the opposite of that by saying one who is not a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no matter what his background is useless. As far as giving spiritual guidance, shiksha. Shat karma nipuno vipro. It is also said in the Vedic literature. Shat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada avaishnavo guru nasyad vaishnava swapacho guru. A scholarly brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious. Or Krishna conscious. This is a quote from Padma Purana. So if you have a Vipra, a learned Brahmana, who is expert in the six activities of a Brahmana, the six activities of a Brahmana are Patana, Patana, Yajana, Yajana, Dana, Pratigraha. He is expert in studying and teaching Vedic knowledge to eligible students. Yajana, Yajana, worship of the deity, and teaching others to worship the deity. Gives charity and he can accept charity. So he may be expertly doing these six activities. And he may be expert in mantras and various tantras, which are various branches of Vedic knowledge and training. But if he is a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru. A Vaishnava or guru nasya. Whereas a Vaishnava who is not Shatkarma Nipuna, who is not expert in these six activities, who is not Mantra Tantra Visharada. And what to speak of that? Even if he is Shwapacha, even if he is born in a family where they cook and eat dog flesh, he can be guru. So here is clear evidence from Padma Purana that Westerners can be gurus. That's what it is. Provided they have become Vaishnavas. That means they follow the rules and regulations of Vaishnava Dharma, which includes stopping the eating of dog flesh, etc. That's why it says that. So this is very, very important, that unless we take competent guidance, we cannot progress. And it is our duty, it is our responsibility to ensure that we take such guidance. It is not going to fall from the sky. Sometimes it happens, like I mentioned, sometimes you have a Vaishnava spiritual master who hunts you down when you have some problem and who solves your problem. But we cannot take that for granted. We should not take that for granted. We should not take that for granted. It is our duty rather to run behind the spiritual master, to run behind the competent superior Vaishnava and seek the solution and get our problem solved. It is our duty to do it. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease and death cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed, yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna through the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. Money does not solve problems. That is the point. Economic development means making money. And having a lot of money or earning a lot of money does not actually solve any problem. From the transcendental perspective, it doesn't help you come on to the transcendental plane. It doesn't actually solve problems. From that perspective, money is required. But that doesn't mean that simply earning money can solve all problems of material existence. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentations for family, social, national or international inebrieties, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. He sought therefore refuge in Krishna consciousness, and that is the right path for peace and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by the cataclysms of material nature. Any moment. One tsunami can destroy your whole lifetime business. Even elevation into a higher planetary situation, as men are now seeking on the moon planet, can also be finished at one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. When the results of pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So Arjuna asked Krishna to solve this problem definitely. And that is the way of Krishna consciousness. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to solve all the problems of material existence in one shot. When we attain pure love for Krishna, which is a fully liberated platform, we will not experience the miseries of material existence. That is the point. And therefore, that is the one-stop solution. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He comments on text 5. Nice comment. I'll read out in its entirety. Nanvevam te yadi swarajye asmin nasti jigriksha tarhi kaya vritya jivishyasi ityatraha gurunahatva guruvatham akritva bhaikshyam kshatriya vigitam api bhikshaya praptam annam api bhoktam shreya. Now, if you have no desire to attain your own kingdom, then by what means are you going to maintain yourself? Arjuna anticipates that Krishna may be thinking like this. So Arjuna says, instead of without killing my gurus, I'll beg. I will eat the. It is better to eat the foodstuffs which are obtained by begging. Now, begging is condemned for Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are not supposed to beg. They never beg. They would rather die than beg. So he's saying that would be better. Aihika dur yasho labhe api paratrikam amangalam tu naivasyaditi bhava. The idea is, okay, in this life, I'm going to be criticized. And this life, you know, I'm going to attain infamy. But in my next life, I will have no inauspiciousness. Because I'm not committing a sinful activity. So in my next life I won't suffer. This life I have to suffer somewhat. You see this way of thinking. This way of thinking is always in terms of happiness in this life and happiness in next life. In Vedic culture you are trained to think like this. Happiness in this life, happiness in next life. For every activity they'll calculate. If I do this activity, will I be happy in this life and happy in next life? Even if you are unhappy in this life, but you are happy in next life, that's okay. So, they are always calculating in terms of next life. This life is a preparation for next life. This is the motto of Vedic culture. Whereas the Western civilization is, this is the only life. There is no next life. There is no cosmic justice. Na chaite guravaha avriptaha karya karyam ajanantaha cha adharmika duryodhanadyanugataha tyajya eva yaduktam gurorapi avaliptasya karya karyam ajanataha utpath pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate iti vachyam ityaha mahanubhavaniti. And Arjuna's mind is thinking, you should not consider that these gurus are all contaminated because they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And because they are followers of Duryodhana and other irreligious souls. As it is stated in scripture, if a guru is contaminated and he does not know what should be done and what should not be done, and what is and who has become deviant, he should be abandoned. This does not apply to my gurus because they are great souls. Mahanubhavan. Kala kamadayopi yair vashikritah tesham bhishmadinam kutastad dosha sambhavayati bhava. They have completely brought under control lust, etc. Like, for instance, Bhishma. He was a brahmachari, controlled person. So these are all controlled persons. So therefore they are great souls. So this consideration cannot be applied on my gurus because they are great souls. Nanu arthasya purusho daso daso startho nakasya chit iti satyam maharaja badhosmyarthena kauravai iti yudhishthiram prati bhishmenaivoktam ataha sampratam arthakamatvad etesha mahanubhavatvam praktanam vigalitam. Now he anticipates that Krishna might be thinking, you know, there was a famous statement by Bhishma to Yudhishthir at one point, that arthasya purushaha dasaha, every man is a servant of money. Dasastvartho nakasya chit, money is nobody's servant. Iti satyam maharaja badhosmi arthena kauravai. Therefore it is true that the Kauravas have bound me up by giving me money. I am their servant. They are maintaining me. Therefore, I cannot oppose them. So, he told this to Yudhishthir. So, Arjuna is anticipating that Krishna might be thinking, okay, previously they might have been great souls, whatever. But now they have become greedy for money. And therefore, where is their, how can you say they are great souls now? Their status of being a great soul earlier has been lost. Satyam. That is true. Tadapyetan hatavataha mama dukhamevasya. Nevertheless, for me to kill them will create misery. Tyataha arthakama. Therefore, he says that, see, even though desiring worldly gains, they are superiors. Even though they may be like that, still they are superiors. Arthakama, arthal lubdhan, api etan gurum, atva aham bhogan gunjiya kintu etesham rudhirena pradigdhan pliptan eva. So I'm going to enjoy. If I kill them, I'm going to enjoy. But everything that I enjoy is going to be tainted with blood. I am artha. The point is this. Etesham artha lubdhatvepi mad gurutvam asyeva. Even if they are desiring worldly gain, they are still my gurus. अतएव एतद्वदे सति गुरुद्रोहिणा मम खलु भोगः दुष्कृतिं मिश्रः स्यात् एंड देयरफॉर माय किलिंग द एंजॉयमेंट ऑफ द पर्सन हु इज अ ट्रेटर अनटू हिज गुरुस एंड हु किल्स हिज गुरुस इज गोइंग टू बी मिक्स्ड विद सिंफुल एक्टिविटी Then for text 7, he anticipates that Krishna thinks like this. Text 7 says that I'm confused about my duty, etc. Nanu tarhi sobapatikam shastrartham tvameva bruvana kshatriya bhutva bhikshatanam nishinoshi tarhi alam madhyuktyeti tatraha karpanyeti. So he anticipates that Krishna might have been thinking, okay, so using your own intelligence and logic, you have decided that this is the purport of Shastra. And therefore, even though you are a Kshatriya, you have decided to go for begging. So what is there for me to talk about? So anyway, you have made all these decisions, so you do whatever you want. So at that moment, he speaks text 7. Swabhavikasya shauryasya tyaga eva mama karpanyam. For me to give up my natural heroism, that is my miserliness. Dharmasya suksha gatirityato dharma vyavasthayam apyaham mudhavuddirevasmi. It is well known that the movements of dharma are very complex to understand. This is a famous statement by Bhishma when Draupadi was being insulted. So at that time, this was stated. Dharmasya sukshma gati. The movement of dharma is very complex. It's very complex to understand what is dharma, what is not dharma. So, I'm completely confused. What is my dharma? What is not my dharma? So my intelligence is bewildered. Atas tvameva nishchitya shreya bruhi. So you decide what is my dharma and you teach me. Nanu madvachastvam panditam manitvena khandayasi chet katham bruyam. But what if you think that you are a great learned person and you try to break my teachings, my words, then what is the use of me speaking? How can I teach you something when you are always trying to attack me? Tatraha shishyasteham. Asmi. No, I am your disciple. Natah param vritha khandayami iti bhava. No, after this I'll not attack you. I'll accept what you say. Nanu mayi tava sakhya bhava eva natu gauravam. Atas tvam kathamaham shishyam karomi. Now, I have a friendly relationship with you. I have a friendly attitude towards you. Now you have a friendly attitude towards me, you don't have respect towards me. So then how can I accept you as a disciple? Tasmad yatra tava gauravam tam kamapi dvaipayanadikam prapadyasvetyataha nahiti. So whoever you have a natural respect for, you go to that person. Like for instance, Dvaipayana. Dvaipayana refers to Vyasadeva. So you go to Vyasadeva, you go to somebody in whom you naturally respect. So then you accept, you surrender to such a person. Why do you have to come to me? So then he speaks, text 8. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. He says that other than listening to you, nobody else can relieve this kind of distress. Mama shokam apanudya duri kurya devam janam. Na prakarshena prapashyami. Tri jagati ekam tvam vina. In the three worlds other than you, I don't see anyone else who can remove my lamentation. Swasmad adhikapudhimantam brihaspatimapi na janamiti atah shokartha eva khalu kam prapadye iti bhava. I don't even know anyone more intelligent than me. Even brihaspati cannot relieve me. So how can I surrender to anyone? So then he anticipates that Krishna might be thinking, okay, so now you're in lamentation. But after you win this kingdom, then your lamentation will go away. Nanu tarhi sampratam tvam shokarte eva khalu yudhyasva. Tatashaitan jitva rajyam praptavatas tava rajyabhoga abhinveshena iva shoko apayasyati tyataha avapyeti. Then he says, no, I will not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous unrivaled kingdom on earth. Even if I get a kingdom like that, it is not going to help me. So you please give me a solution. So that is what is in Arjuna's mind. Baladeva Vidyabhushan has commented. Actually, I should read out even the previous comments from text 2. I won't read everything, but I'll read some portions because Baladeva Vidyabhushan is very, very analytical and he brings out various hidden points, or not hidden, but many things which are not so commonly perceived. I'll begin by examining his comment from text 2 because I didn't look at the commentaries yesterday. This is text 2. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Lord, is speaking to Arjuna that how have these impurities come upon me? And he's analyzing this Bhagavan and he's also quoting Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashashriya Jnana Vairagi Yoshchapi Shannam Bhagaiti Ganaiti Parasharoktair Aishwaryadibhi Shadbhir Nityam Vishishta. That personality who's eternally characterized by these six opulences, fame, wealth, wisdom, beauty, power, renunciation, that person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Samagrasya iti etat shatsu yojyam. One who has complete fame, complete wealth, complete wisdom, complete knowledge, fame, wealth, wisdom, beauty, complete power, complete renunciation. You should keep in mind, he's complete in all these manners. How have these impurities come upon you, the crustule of the Kshatriyas? Hey Arjuna, idam swadharma vaimukhyam kashmalaha. This impurity in the form of opposition to your own swadharma. How has this come upon you? And this is criticized by all civilized people. Shishtan nindetvam malinam kutaha hetostvam kshatriya chudamanim sampasitam abhut. That too at this time, in the middle of a war. And then he says, this is not accepted by the Aryas. If you remember, Krishna said, these are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. This is not acceptable for anyone who knows the value of life, who is a civilized man. And Vidyabhushan says, nacha mokshaya swargaya kirtaye va etad yuddhavairagyam. This renunciation of this war is not going to lead you towards liberation. It will not lead you towards the heavenly plans. It will not give you fame on this planet. So the idea is, this is bad materially, this is bad spiritually. This is bad materially, even if you want to enjoy in this life. This is bad materially, if you want to enjoy in your next life. It is bad spiritually. And then he explains, Aryaihi means mumukshubhihi najushtam sevitam aryah khalu hrid vishuddhaye sudharmana charanti. Aryas, or civilized people, they engage in their swadharma for purifying their hearts in order to attain liberation. They seek liberation. Those who seek liberation, they are Aryas. Those who don't know about liberation, who don't seek liberation, they are anaryas. They are non-Aryas. They are uncivilized. Aswargyam swargopalambhakad dharma viruddham. Aswargyam, they don't lead to the heavenly planets, means they are opposed to Vedic dharma, which point out how one can attain the heavenly planets. Akirtikaram, kirti viplavakam. Akirtikaram, they lead to infamy, means they completely devastate your fame. You might be a very great person, but you are going to lose all of your fame one shot. Then his comment on text 4. Baladeva Vidyabhushan has said, the text says that Arjuna is speaking now, how can I fight with people like Bhishma, Drona? How can I counterattack with arrows, these persons worthy of worship? So Acharya Baladeva, he says, he's anticipating, Arjuna is anticipating that Krishna might invoke the scriptural statement that when a Kshatriya is invited for a war or for gambling, he has to fight. He cannot avoid that. Ahuto na nivartete iti yudhavidanacha kshatriyasya iti chetatraha. And that is one reason. Another reason is Bhishma and the others are your opponents. So how can you not fight? They're going to fight with you. Are you going to not fight? Nanu Bhishma Dishu Prati Yodrishu Satsu Tvaya Katam na Yodavyam Ahuto na nivartete iti yudhavidanacha kshatriyasya iti chetatraha katam iti. But how can I fight? Bhishma Pitamaha. Bhishma is my grandfather. Dronam Che Vidya Guru. Drona is my Shiksha Guru. Ishubhi Katam Yotsye. How am I supposed to fight with the arrows? Yadimau Pujarho. Pushpadivir Abhyarchyo. They are supposed to be worshipped with flowers. Parihasa Vagvirapi Yabhyam Yudhamna Yuktam Tabhyam Saha Ishubhistat Katam Yujyeta. Even, I can't even joke with them. I can't even, because they are gurus. I can't even joke with them. Or even out of a, in a joke, I can't enter into a fight with them. Even jokingly, I can't fight with them. Where is the question of me fighting with them using arrows? And then, today, text 5. Generally, he's repeating the points made by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti. He's just writing it much more clear. Text 6. Let's see. Where is text 6? 5. Okay, 6. Okay, now, these points are very, very important. These are reflected in Prabhupada's own commentary that Arjuna is fit for liberation. This is an important point. What Baladeva Vidyabhushan does is, he gives various scriptural, he gives a scriptural statement, where he gives, in that statement, there are various qualities for one who is fit for liberation. And then he begins to analyze whether Arjuna has them or not. So here is a statement. Evam etavata granthena. Okay, so far, this, until this section, tasmadevam vit shanta danta uparataha titikshuhu shraddhanvitaha bhutva atmanyevatmanam pashyet iti shruti prasiddham arjunasya jnanadhikaritvam darshitam. So, till now, Arjuna's being qualified for spiritual knowledge has been demonstrated as per the statement of the Shruti, that one who is spiritually enlightened, or that a personality who wants to know about spirituality, he should be peaceful, shanta, danta, should be sense-controlled. He should be detached, uparata. He should be tolerant, titikshuhu. He should have faith, shraddhanvitaha. Then he'll be able to see the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul, inside his soul, in spiritual realization. Tatra, kinno rajyena iti shamadamo. You see, Arjuna had spoken, kinno rajyena govinda kim bhogai jivitena va yeshamarthe kankshitam no rajyam bhoga sukhanicha. So that shloka demonstrates that Arjuna has both controlled mind and controlled senses. Api trailokya rajyasya iti aihika paratrika bhoga upeksha lakshana uparati. He says that Even if I have the kingdom of the three worlds, etc., my lamentation will not go away. So from this we understand that Arjuna is not interested in anything mundane of this world or of any higher planetary system. He has no such desire, so he is detached. Bhaikshyam bhoktum shreya iti dvandva sahishnutva lakshana titiksha. He is willing to accept begging. So from this we understand that he has the quality of tolerance. He can tolerate the dualities of material comfort and material discomfort. So he has another quality. Guru vakya dhrida vishwasa lakshana shraddha tu uttaravakya vyakti bhavishyati. And his faith in his guru, he has accepted Krishna as his guru. That is called Shraddha. So he has all these features. You see, he has got Shama, he has got Dama, he has got Uparati, he has got Titiksha, he has got Shraddha. All the five features of a person who is competent for attaining knowledge about liberation, he has them. So from this we understand that Arjuna is actually qualified. He is not a Mandadikari, he is not some dull-headed person. He is actually fit to receive spiritual knowledge. Na khalu shamadi shunyasya gyane asti adhikaraha. For a person who does not have these five qualities, he is not actually fit to attain knowledge, devotion, etc. Pangvade riva karmani. Just as a lame person, or he cannot walk, he cannot engage in certain activities. So these are absolutely required. Then regarding text 7, Karpanya Doshopahata Swabhava, Baladeva Vidyabhushan says that now we see surrender to a guru. Sanjay is pointing out that Arjuna is demonstrating Guru Pasati. Surrender to a guru from this verse. Now there are statements in the scriptures that one should surrender to a spiritual master. Atha tad vijnanartham sa gurumeva vikarchet samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam acharyavan purusho veda ityadi shruti siddham guru pusatyam darshayati karpanyeti. There are statements that one should, for the sake of attaining spiritual realization, one should surrender to a bona fide guru. In his hands he should carry firewood, which is meant to be used by the guru for his fire sacrifice. The idea is he should be prepared to assist that guru in whichever way he is serving Lord Vishnu. So one should go with that in front of the guru and one should surrender. Now that guru should have two qualifications. One is Shrotriyam and the other is Brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means that he is sufficiently learned. He has sufficient theoretical knowledge and understanding of Shastra. The second is, he should be sufficiently devoted. Brahmanishtam. Only one is not enough. You should actually have both. Madhyamadikaris need to have both. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. There are also statements that one who has a bona fide acharya, as a spiritual master, he knows everything required for spiritual knowledge, for spiritual realization. So that we understand from this verse, Karpanya Dosha. What is Arjuna's miserliness? Ultimately, this is his miserliness. Yova etadaksharam garga viditva sma lokat praiti sakripanaha iti shravanat. Abrahmavitvam karpani. Arjuna's miserliness. Miserliness means you do not know about the supreme absolute truth. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. If you don't know the signs of the absolute truth, then you are a miser. Because you are going to die and take birth again. Tena hetuna yodosho yaneva hatveti बंधुवर्गम ममता लक्षण तेन उपहत स्वभाव युद्ध स्पृहा लक्षण स्वधर्मो यसि स. So Arjuna understands that this his attachment for his bandhuvarga, his relatives, is what is creating this trouble. Dharme sammudham kshatriyasya me yuddham swadharmaha tadvihaya bhikshatanam va ityevam sandihanam cheto yasya saha. And I'm confused. What is my dharma? That means I'm confused. Should I give up my dharma of fighting in this war? Or should I engage in it? If I give up, then I have to go for begging. What is my dharma? Idrishaha sannaham tu tvam idanim prachami. Therefore, I am asking you, what is for sure beneficial? Yatshreyasyan nishitam bruhita. Tell me that which is nishitam, that which is definite. Tasmat nishitam. Nishitam means aikantikam, atyantikam, yan me shreyasya tattvam bruhi. You tell me that which is the highest. He uses two words, aikantikam and atyantikam. And he explains that the benefit has to be both aikantikam and atyantikam. Aikantikam means that if I do this activity, I'll definitely be benefited. Atyantikam means that it will never be destroyed in the future. And then he anticipates that Krishna might be thinking that, but you are my friend, how will I instruct you? Then Arjuna, he keeps that in mind and then he says, no, I'll become your disciple. Then in the last verse, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he says, and Arjuna is asking Krishna, please relieve me from my misery which is drying up my senses. And from this, he is demonstrating the meaning of the scriptural statement, Soham Bhagavas Shochami Tam Maam Bhavan Shokasya Param Tarayatu. There's a statement in the Shruti that where a disciple goes to the Guru, he says, please deliver me, please show me the shore on the other side of the ocean of lamentation. So he's demonstrating that through Arjuna's words. Now, one thing that we notice again, Baladeva Vidyabhushan points out that Arjuna is an exalted soul who is fully competent for liberation. He's pointing out tad yatheha karma jito loka kshiyate evam eva matra punya jito loka kshiyate iti shrutehe na aihikam paratrikam va yuddhalakshanam sukham shokapaham tasmat adrisham eva shreyastvam bruhi iti na yuddham shokaharam. Arjuna has understood that by participating in this that this war is not going to remove my lamentation, because even if I win in this war, is not going to actually solve all problems of material existence, because he has one statement from the Upanishad in his mind that whatever planets we attain by performing pious activities, we will lose our residency in those planets, and those planets will also be destroyed in course of time. Just as our status in this world destroys by minor pious activities, similarly, when you engage in major pious activities and you are born in heavenly planets, then again that status is destroyed. There is a statement in the Upanishads, and Arjuna has this in mind, that look, ultimately there is no difference between winning over something here, winning over something there. And therefore Arjuna says, whether I win this kingdom or I even win the kingdom of the demigods, it doesn't matter. It is not going to solve my problems. My lamentation will continue. So Arjuna has understood that. So Arjuna is a person who is fit for liberation. He is not a dull-headed person, as Shankara and his followers are saying. Very important. Okay, I'll stop with this. Tomorrow I'll read out the other commentaries, and then we'll proceed with the next section. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.